All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him on Twitter at MistoCristofo and the Locked On Jaguars handle as well at Locked On Jaguars. It's been a couple of days since we got an episode out for you guys. We've just been kind of, you know, getting into the start of the offseason a little bit and trying to enjoy the holidays, but we're back. We got some content coming your way. Mobile, the Senior Bowl is coming up in the next couple of weeks, and we're really excited to get out there and be one of the few, if not the only, pieces of Jaguars coverage out there covering the Senior Bowl. There might be one or two other guys. We're still kind of figuring out who's going to be there. But as for now, it's looking like me and Chris are going to be giving you guys all the content that you need during the Senior Bowl 2019. Chris, how excited are you to get out there?
Second year in a row, baby, and I can drink now, so anybody that is going to be there, you know, the top dogs, the Mark Schofields, the all those guys, I'll be sure to visit you guys down at Veet's, because that seems to be the happening spot in Mobile.
And because I
and Zach Chris, can drink water and watch
be TV a designated driver. I can be a designated driver. I can just go and eat the food at Veet's and drink a Coke. that's all about I'm going to do. I'll be busy on the grind. I'll take my laptop into the bar and be watching the practice film. but anyway, before we get to the Senior Bowl, the Jaguars do have something to nail down, and that is their offensive coordinator job. They are getting ready to conduct interviews. They've been pretty silent so far as to who they've been bringing in or who they plan on bringing in, while the rest of the NFL is in full swing trying to get the 8 vacant head coaching jobs filled, as well as a couple other coordinator positions, yada, yada, yada. The only bit of info that we have out is that the Jaguars reportedly are planning to interview former Seahawks offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel. And that came from Jason Lockenfora, so that means that they probably aren't interviewing Daryl Bevel. But we're going to go ahead and assume that they are, because Bevel's been out of football for a year, and you know, he doesn't really have the leverage to demand like a top job right now if he wants to come back and coach football. And Jacksonville's not in the position to, you know, get the best top of the line front running coordinators at this point, because it is kind of a lame duck situation here. So we're going to talk about Bevel in a little bit and what he would have to offer, as well as guys that Chris and I both love for the offensive coordinator position, as well as some guys that might just make sense as a fit. And we're going to start with Chris's favorite. He's been talking to me about this guy since the day the season ended. He's a big fan. I'd be a big fan of this hiring as well. A real young coordinator in Rams quarterbacks coach Zach Taylor. Now, he has been getting some head coaching interviews across the NFL, which has been a little bit surprising, but he's coming from that McVay tree, and McVay got hired at what, Chris? I think 32?
Yeah, youngest head coach in NFL history, which he was also a guy that I wouldn't have minded him being in Jacksonville, but obviously the Jags weren't in position to get a new head coach as they were having their one good fluke season to kind of throw a wrench in everything.
Yeah, exactly, and McVay, I mean, McVay was literally younger than some of the dudes on his team, still is at this point. But Taylor is a guy that obviously has, you know, totally changed who Jared Goff is as a quarterback from year one to year two, and obviously now into year three. But we saw a totally different quarterback under Zach Taylor and Sean McVay, someone with confidence, someone that can make all the throws, and we just didn't see that his rookie year. And obviously, you know, Jared Goff has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year. He certainly shot up last year in his second year. That's quite the resume right there for a 35-year-old quarterbacks coach. And he's a guy that's got play-calling experience, albeit limited, in Miami for about half a season, where he was an interim offensive coordinator. He called plays at the University of Cincinnati. And, well, he was also the quarterback coach for the Miami Dolphins, where Ryan Tannehill showed a ton of growth as a young quarterback before he started dealing with injuries. It's a reason that Tannehill became one of the most highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL after the work that Taylor did with him. So Chris, what stands out to you about Zach Taylor? What makes you like him so much as a potential offensive coordinator target?
Well, I think the biggest thing is his history of being able to develop quarterbacks. Although he only really has two NFL quarterbacks under his belt, the changes in the development that you saw with those guys, but from when he wasn't there, well, he was in with Ryan Tannehill in his rookie year, so really was able to develop him from the ground up. Tannehill broke Dolphins records. He threw for like 3,000 yards, like each of his like his first four seasons or something like that. Broke a bunch of records there, but I think really the biggest thing is seeing Jared Goff's development in Los Angeles. His rookie year, Goff had 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Granted, he only had 205 snaps, so he had half the amount that he would have the next year when Zach Taylor takes over. But if you look at the jump, when Zach Taylor takes over as quarterback's coach in 2017, Goff throws for 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Granted, that might be a part of the McVay system too, but the development going from year one to year two is crucial, and it seems like Zach Taylor was able to nail that with Jared Goff, and the continued development going from 2017 to 2018, where Goff's numbers got better, his completion percentage went up, his yards went up, his yards per attempt went up, his touchdowns went up, his interceptions also went up, but, you know, they kind of exponentially moved up together. So, the development of Goff, I think, is what really stands out to me for the Jags if they were to get Zach Taylor, especially if the Jags do get their new franchise quarterback in this year's draft.
Now, Taylor is a former college quarterback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. He actually grew up and around one of Chris's favorite football colleges out there, and that being the Oklahoma Sooners. However, he did not end up getting an offer from them. Rather, he signed with Wake Forest. He redshirted, filled in as a backup, and ended up transferring to Nebraska after going to, I believe, a community college. But I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of corny here, but I tend to appreciate young guys that are coming off actually playing at a decently high level. Obviously, Nebraska is a pretty legitimate football school, is a D1 school, and he was a quarterback there. And considering like how young he is, he's gotten a ton of work done since he graduated playing as a graduate assistant for Texas A&M, then making his way up the ranks with Miami, Cincinnati, and now in Los Angeles. So I know Chris is all about grit and talking about stuff like that. And I feel like that's really important for how much he's grown in such a short amount of time, is that he truly has an understanding for the quarterback position, being that he is a former player.
I think the biggest thing is the youth factor. I think the way the NFL is going, you have guys like the Sean McVays, the Kyle Shanahans, they are able to – they're changing the game right now with how offenses are run. And I think these younger coaches coming up, coming out of college, kind of, you know, being closer to those types of schemes are really helping and fueling this kind of surge and change in the NFL, where coaching staff seem to be getting younger and younger, and that's because the game is getting faster offensively and changing up. You can't run an offense like the Jags did this year, at least not with the pieces you have in hand. You have to change up. You have to start running those trick plays like we saw from Scott Milanovich towards the end of the season. You got to start mixing things up. And I think if you go with the youth route, that really can help kind of catalyze that and help your offense grow and bring it to a modern NFL offense.
Under Zach Taylor, the first 4 years of Ryan Tannehill's career, he threw for 15,460 yards. That's the third most in NFL history in that time span for first four seasons for a quarterback. So obviously pretty impressive, not to mention what's gone on with Goff. So Taylor certainly is a young, intriguing candidate. He's a guy that is getting head coaching interviews, which is crazy. But if he weren't to get offered those jobs, truly curious if the Jaguars would then look to see if they could bring him in for an interview for offensive coordinator. And we'll get to some more coordinator options when we come back from this quick break. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835, or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through New Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. The next guy on our list is my personal favorite for the Jaguars job, and it used to be John DeFilippo, but I've kind of done a little bit more research on some other guys, and I found a guy that I want more than Flip, and that's Sean Ryan, and that is Houston Texans quarterbacks coach Sean Ryan. He has done a fantastic job developing Deshaun Watson, who's a dark horse MVP candidate this year. Yes, I know. It's going to Pat Mahomes. And if it wasn't going to Mahomes, it'd go to Breeze. But there's not a doubt in my mind Watson's going to have the third most votes among all quarterbacks, considering how dominant he's been, the winning streak that Houston put on when he got into his groove a couple games into the season. The fact that he's playing behind an atrocious, atrocious offensive line, worse than the Jaguars' offensive line throughout the year, even though the Jaguars were on third and fourth stringers. Like, I kid you not, Watson was sacked 61 times. It was miserable. But Ryan did a great job developing him, obviously, at this point. He's a guy that is just an absolute threat to anyone that plays the Texans. But Ryan, he's a 46-year-old coach. He did a little bit of college coaching as a graduate assistant. He's coached pretty much every position on offense except for tight ends and offensive linemen, but receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, offensive quality control. And that's where he got his first NFL job, was with the New York Giants in 2007 through 2015 under, you guessed it, now Jaguars executive vice president of football operations and former Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. That's who gave him his first job. He was the offensive quality control coach there. In 2010, moved to receiver coach. He developed the likes of, Victor Cruz, as well as a couple of other guys that emerged that weren't necessarily top-tier talents. I think Hakeem Nicks kind of broke out under him. A couple of other guys, I don't have that page pulled up, but those are just off the top of my head.
Don't forget Mario Manningham. Come on.
Yeah, that's right, Mario Manningham. Forgot about that one. Then served time as the quarterbacks coach for Eli Manning, 2012 to 2013. Went back to receivers coach 2014, 2015. And that's when Coughlin made his exit out of New York. And with that, Ryan left as well. Immediately got a job with the Houston Texans as their receivers coach. The next year got moved to quarterbacks coach, where he has been there now for 2 years. He's a guy that I'd be really intrigued by, especially with that connection. Bill O'Brien, the Texans head coach / offensive coordinator, because he calls the plays there, has said, listen, I'm most comfortable calling the plays. That's what I do. However, I would have absolutely no issue handing the play calling over to Sean Ryan if I needed to. That's not his direct quote, but that's essentially what he said to the media at, I believe, middle of the offseason last year when Sean Ryan started getting some offensive coordinator interviews. And he said, Bill O'Brien said that without a doubt, Ryan will be a play caller in this league at some point. And who better for Ryan to start calling plays under than Bill O'Brien's very good friend, Doug Marrone, the Jaguars head coach. They are on record for being very close friends and respect each other a ton. And if Bill O'Brien knows that time's coming and it's time for Ryan to start calling plays, I don't really see a better place for him to go than a good buddy-buddy of Bill O'Brien. And with the work that he's done with Deshaun Watson and his history that he's got, I would say that Sean Ryan's a perfect candidate for this job.
You so far have not described anything that is bad to me. I think really what we're looking for in these offensive coordinator candidates is their developmental skills of guys
with quarterbacks.
That's going to be the biggest thing, because if the Jags miss on their next quarterback, they're done. It's it's game over. You can't miss twice, and you can't be the Browns for 15 years and then hit a home run with Baker Mayfield. That just doesn't happen all the time. Seeing that he was he seems to be more like a receivers coach than a giant or a quarterback's coach, but he looks like he can obviously do both pretty well. So, Keenan McCardell is safe as we know right now. But maybe he would help in that room, because we saw that the wide receivers did struggle this year, whether that be talent, coaching, whatever. So he might have a hand in that as an offensive coordinator. So he might be kind of helping with the quarterbacks and receivers. But really seeing how Watson has continued to grow and play despite the atrocious offensive line that he has in front of him, just god-awful. And then just, you know, no real weapons at, like, tight end. You have DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver, who is probably the best in the game right now. But other than that, not really a whole lot. He's a Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue, who are hit or miss, really, in the run game. So they might give you 100 yards. They might give you 25 yards. So his offense is kind of inconsistent around him. Really, the only consistency is, it seems to be DeAndre Hopkins, who went this year with 115 catches with zero drops. So by far probably the most consistent receiver in the NFL. That's the thing that jumps out to me, is the Deshaun Watson stuff in Houston, and then seeing the guys that he developed in New York, like you said, the Hakeem Nicks, the Mario Manninghams, the Victor Cruises, guys that really are the entire receiving room for the Jaguars right now, guys that weren't necessarily drafted super high. You have Marquise Lee, but you know what you're getting out of him. But some of these younger guys, maybe develop them up a little more. Get Keelan Cole back on track. Continue to develop D.D. Westbrook a little more. I think his biggest thing would be D.J. Chark. If he can get him going, that would be a big thing as OC. So really kind of seeing how these guys can develop these younger guys in their positional groups is really encouraging when looking at their resumes.
And I think that you nailed it, is that the most important thing is obviously their ability to develop a quarterback. And his first year coaching Eli Manning as the quarterback coach, Manning went to the Pro Bowl. His next year wasn't so great, and the Giants as a whole fell apart from a winning playoff team into a team that I believe went 6-10. And in that year, Manning threw a ton of interceptions, but there were a ton of problems all across that offense. And we all know Eli Manning's hit or miss. I'm much more willing to be a little recent biased with this and look at Deshaun Watson, but can't take away that his first year as a NFL quarterbacks coach, Manning had one of his several Pro Bowls. But you also nailed it as well, that even though he's obviously got developing quarterbacks as a part of his resume, he's really spread things out during his career that makes him more appealing, is that he's been coaching. He has, let's see, 1, 2, 3 different jobs, both college and NFL level, as a quarterbacks coach with the Texans, Giants, as well as University of Columbia. He had 3 different jobs as a running backs coach, all of them through college at Harvard, Columbia, and Colgate. And then as a receiver coach, he did 1 year with the Texans. You could say that he helped develop DeAndre Hopkins into the weapon that that Deshaun Watson, who Ryan also helped develop, you could say that he kind of created that duo right there by his development skills. He did receivers in New York, which we mentioned before, and that might be it with one. He double dipped at receivers at New York. So really, he spread things around a ton throughout his coaching career that dates back to 1998. And I think that versatility is going to be very important, as well as his ability to develop a quarterback, in which case I'm sold. I think that he's going to be my favorite guy, and I really hope that they can get him for an interview. Obviously, the Jaguars won't be able to do that just yet. Houston is in the playoffs, so he is not allowed to interview during the wild card week. Win or lose, I do believe he's able to after the first week, so we'll just have to see. I'm sure it would have to be really early in the week, next week, if Houston does win. Or if they lose, then Jacksonville can get that on the road. Like I said, being good friends with Doug Marrone, that being Bill O'Brien, Sean Ryan's boss, could definitely do Jacksonville favors in trying to land Ryan compared to other teams. So we'll just have to see. That's going to be my guy. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple other options. So as we mentioned before, there's Daryl Bevel. He was the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator. I think he'd be a fine offensive coordinator in their Super Bowl runs in 2013 and 14, I believe. They were top 10 in scoring offense and top 10 to 15 in total offense. I might have flipped them, but one way or another, they had an efficient offense. They ran through a really good quarterback in Russell Wilson, who Bevel personally scouted. Pete Carroll said that Bevel essentially was the one that put together the entire Russell Wilson project as when he was scouting him. He attended his pro day. He banged the table for the Seahawks to select Russell Wilson in the third round and took him on as his guy, as well as having a guy in Marshawn Lynch to really balance out with the run game. Now, if there's one downfall to Bevel that everyone's got to know him for, that would be, Chris, do you know?
I do not.
Oh, well, you're going to be sick of him when I say what it is. He is the one that called the play against the Patriots where they didn't run at down and one at the end zone. That is what he is known for. He isn't known for as much as the fact that he is the reason Russell Wilson is the Seahawks quarterback, and quite frankly, is probably the reason Russell Wilson is successful at all, because he went into a great situation and was developed great. But he is known for that call.
Well, I mean, I guess everybody has a mistake. That one just cost them a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and in fairness, their offense was really good the year before, and they did win the Super Bowl. So I say that, you know, I'm willing to let that slide at this point. But he seems like an option. Like I said, Jason Lockenfor is reporting that he's interviewing. There's no way to prove that with Lockenfor's track record.
To be fair, recently, I haven't seen anybody dispute it either. Usually when he comes out with a report, usually it's disputed pretty fast, but I've seen Bevel consistently reported. So that might be true, which wouldn't surprise me. It's not like he's like some, like, you know, it's not like it's a Hail Mary or not Hail Mary, but it's not like it's like out of the realm of possibility.
It wouldn't surprise me, but Rap Sheet so far has been on it with every interview that's happened, and he hasn't reported that, as well as Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, who's kind of broken out as a big-time reporter in, I guess, the past year or two, really, is what I've started to notice him, has been all over the Jags' moves, including the original firing of Tyrone Wheatley and some other stuff that's happened later in the season, and he's got to have some sort of connection, I guess, to Jacksonville, so I'm waiting to see what he or Rap Sheet says about who they're interviewing before I trust it. Like you said, it's definitely not a long shot. Like, it's definitely in the realm of possibilities, especially because Bevel has been out of a job for a year now since he was dismissed in Seattle. A lot of people are willing to blame that on the crumbling of the offensive line there under Tom Cable, which was a total mess. So I think Bevel would probably be a fine hire at this point. Now, I've mentioned John DeFilippo in the past. We don't really need to go in depth with him. I believe he kind of got scapegoated there in Minnesota. We saw there was one game where the offense was really firing under Kevin Stefanski, whoever their offensive coordinator was filling in. But by week 17, Adam Thielen was yelling at Kirk Cousins on the sidelines for God knows what. There was no confirmation, but obviously there were still issues with the offense and an apparent lack of trust in their free agent signing quarterback from 9 or 10 months ago. So maybe Flip was good and people didn't realize it, because if Kirk's having problems, his stat sheet wouldn't indicate it. He was completing 70% of his throws, I think like 28 touchdowns to a very small number of interceptions by the time Flip got fired. Both receivers in Diggs and Thielen were playing great. It's just the run game wasn't going off that much. And to be fair, the Vikings don't have a great offensive line. Dalvin Cook was hurt for a lot of the year. So I think he really did get scapegoated there, in which case I think he'd be a fine candidate anywhere else. He's obviously not got a ton of leverage to negotiate himself into a great job right now, but he has a connection to Tom Coughlin. Coughlin was going to take him to San Francisco if he got hired as their head coach a couple years back. So there's a connection there. I think that that'd be good. And I know Chris agrees with that, that he's a Flip fan.
Yeah, and the entire time you were talking about that Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen thing, I was just thinking of the video where Kirk is just like yelling at Thielen. He's just like putting his arm up and then jetting it out to the side where he just like keeps showing him. He walks away, keeps doing it. That whole video had me geeking because they kept adding like music to it, and it was phenomenal. But yeah, Flip, If they got him, I'd be ecstatic. I love him as an OC hire. I think he was kind of scapegoated out of Minnesota, even though it was kind of surprising. I know the offense was kind of sputtering a little bit. It was kind of drastic to see him go because it was really Flip's. When he was leaving Philly, I thought he was going to get head coaching job. But then when he went to Minnesota, I was like, okay, one more step. And then now he's back to the OC level. So I think anywhere he goes, that's the only asterisk or the kind of con that I would see him going to Jacksonville is if he does go to Jacksonville, turns this offense around, makes it even a top 15 offense, I think he gets head coaching garnishing. He garnishes head coaching interest again. So that would be the one thing that scares me is he might not necessarily be a long-term fit. However, it seems like all coaches now are like that. They go somewhere for 1 year, bounce. I mean, Dan Mullen for the Gators is even getting NFL calls right now. So that would literally just like kill me. So literally the coaching turnstile keeps turning. Hopefully whoever the Jags get at OC will be here for at least the whoever we draft at quarterback, at least their whole rookie contract. After that, once they're developed, then, you know, you can maybe change some things around. But at least for the first 3 years, at least give me 3 years of the same offensive coordinator, because I don't want to see what we had with Blake, where it was a new OC every year, and you're basically just restarting every year. That is terrible for a quarterback's development. So we need consistency and longevity in whoever we get in an offensive coordinator candidate.
Now, what if the hiring was someone that you didn't like? Would you take that all back? And I know, because I heard when I mentioned this guy as someone we needed to talk to before the podcast, you gave me your good old sound effect where I know you're not pleased with what I have to say. And that being a guy that is also very well connected to Tom Coughlin, who's obviously calling the shots now. If that wasn't clear already in the past, he definitely is now. The team made that pretty clear when he was the one that kept Caldwell and Marone around. Now, this person being former Giants head coach, and before that, former offensive coordinator to Tom Coughlin, Ben McAdoo.
Ben McA, don't do it.
Oh, God. See, I don't disagree that it'd be one of those hirings, because everyone knows there in New York, obviously, there was a lot of tension. He was the one that benched Eli Manning and broke his career streak. So on and so forth. The team was not in a good position under him, but he was the offensive coordinator from 2014 to 2015, in which case, I mean, Eli Manning had 230 touchdown seasons there as well and another Pro Bowl. He was playing really good football when McAdoo was the offensive coordinator. They bounced back to being a really efficient football team under McAdoo in his first year as the head coach at 11-5. Eli had another good year there as well. The offense as a whole played pretty well. He's got history around quarterbacks as the Green Bay Packers quarterbacks coach for 2 years with Aaron Rodgers, as well as their tight ends coach from 2006 to 2011. And I know there was a good tight end there for that period of time. I'm just totally blanking on who it is. Before that, he was with San Francisco as an offensive line coach and offensive quality control coach, New Orleans Saints, and then he did a lot of college work. So he's obviously got a long history of coaching the offense across different positions. And at the same time, he's only 41 years old. So I actually am kind of shocked by that. I thought he was a lot older. Obviously wouldn't be a flashy hire. He's one that has that connection. And a lot of people will look at what happened in New York while he was the head coach and probably get a little pissed off. But
that once you give it that time, looks like I'm naked mole rat.
That too. Rufus. But I think when you give it, if you give it a little bit of time and cool down, I think that hiring would make sense if they're not able to pull in a name like Sean Ryan or Zach Taylor. If he's a consolation prize type of guy, I wouldn't be mad at that hiring at all.
I guess. I just won't like it. But I'll deal with
I think you'd get used to it. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, if the offense works, then sure, I'll get used to it. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that can make me get used to things, you know, getting a quarterback, whatever. But, you know that reaction pick that Med always uses on the timeline where it's the penguin with his arms crossed, Pingu? That'd be me.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the Jaguars have no official interviews out there and reported other than the Bevel news, which we'll see if that actually ends up being true. But I have a feeling these are all guys that will at least – the Jaguars will at least have some form of interest in. But Team Sean Ryan, and for Chris, Team Zach Taylor. And with that, thank you guys for listening to Locked On Jaguars. Make sure to catch up with us next time. You can hear us on all podcast listening services, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. I'm going to try and see if we can get onto some other ones as well, just to make it easier for everyone, because I always get hit with, is this available on whatever? Bottom line is, make sure to subscribe. Get ready for Mobile. We're going to have a lot of content coming your way then, and we'll catch up with you guys next time.